Welcome to Call with Dads. Let's talk.
But yeah, it's a new world. We're new on Kick, and hopefully I get everything figured out and be able to get us live streaming somewhat on X as well and make more and more fun times. But it's also balancing all this into getting what we need so that, one, like we were talking before, just there's so much going on and handling all this stuff in the background, balancing the podcast. And then, of course, you have work. You have all the crazy stuff going on with the family. You have another one on the way. So you have extra to balance. Yeah.
And closing on a house. It's just been crazy.
I was going to say, with you, you have so much going on that I wouldn't even imagine. I wouldn't even know where to start with all the crazy stuff you have going on. And then, I mean, you have multiple kids, you have another one on the way, buying another house, your job, homeschooling, everything you guys do.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here, and don't get me wrong, I might bitch occasionally about, oh, I'm working till midnight, but it's also because I homeschool, so I'm balancing that. And most people, I don't think about all the stuff that takes into balancing out life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all just assume, well, you just do it and it's good. But in all truth, there's a lot of a balancing act to it.
Yeah.
The stress. And it's...
There's a lot of sacrifice too.
Yeah, really.
I talk about the stuff I do, but I don't talk about the stuff I don't do that I wish I could. You know?
Yeah. Well,
that's the
other thing is there's a lot of stuff that we all say, oh yeah, we have this, that, but there's a whole life behind it that you have to do as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you as well, man.
I mean, with this podcast thing, I mean, I don't think people understand, you know, you're the backbone of this thing. You pretty much make it happen. And between that, and like you said, homeschooling, and I mean, we're always juggling a lot, but I think it's important to, and at least I feel this way. I mean, I'm blessed, you know, I'm fortunate to be able to juggle all those things. And, you know, I drop some balls every now and then.
Right.
Just like, you know, I host a chess club once a month at the local public library here. And one of the guys, I was in ACK, taking care of some stuff that I had been meaning to take care of, and which is quite a ways for me. And,
right.
And yeah. And my partner, he calls me and he's like, hey, where you at? And I was like, what do you mean? It was chess clubs tonight. I was like, oh, well. Well, it's not in the calendar. Like, you know, like, it didn't go in the calendar, so it didn't get done, you know.
Right.
And he said, I'm not going to be there. That is literally impossible.
That's a crazy thing. If you think about all the stuff, like, I can honestly say, if it wasn't for the Google calendar, my work calendar, and being able to have it all on my phone, then I would basically be lost in a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. If it's not in the calendar, it doesn't get done.
Yeah, I have a little attention from one of the kitties. But one of the three. But the thing is, I mean, we all just kind of do it. And a lot of people, I think, get stressed out with the fact of if you sit there, like, I can honestly swear, if I sat there and thought about all the stuff I do in a day, and you get used to doing it. But when I first started taking over as the parent at home, like when my wife worked at home, she worked and she dealt with getting most of the dinners ready, getting a lot of the dishes and everything else set up. Where now with me being at home, I'm the one getting dinners, getting laundry, managing the kids, all this, because she has a heck of a drive back and forth. When you work in an office, obviously, whoever's at home the most is the one that's going to do most of the work for the house. It's just what life is.
Yeah.
And you don't think about it, but the fact is a lot of the work we do is the little things, this and that, kind of bogs you down. And I was talking with my boss a while back ago, and he's like, well, what all did you do? I'm like, I have no idea. I'm like, I know I was so busy, I got quite a bit of stuff done, but I couldn't tell you the first thing I did. Like, it's one of those that you just pound and pound and pound and pound until you have it smooth enough that you can say, now let's look back and think about what I did. Can mm-hmm. I remember? And
that's funny. You just lose the day. I know how that is.
I mean, think about it. How many times have you sat there and been working or doing something and you get so bogged down or so focused that you're like, man, it's the end of the day. I have to get the kids. What have I done today? What have I achieved? I know I have no emails. I know that I have nobody asking me for this or that. So I had to accomplish something, you know?
It's easy to beat yourself up about that too, because, you know, when you do spread yourself thin like that and you are trying to accomplish so much at once, and you look back and you just feel like you lost a day. It's like, man, a day. It's like, I only got so many of those to waste. You know what I mean? Like, gosh, man.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, you know, what it's just, you feel like every moment has to be productive. And that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. You know, we do all this so that we can enjoy our life, you know, and, you know, I mean, there's the whole adage of like the journey is, you know, more important than the destination. And I agree with that to a certain extent. You know, life is an active process. It's not a passive process.
Right.
And so there is enjoyment in that, but it doesn't change the fact that you got to take time to kind of slow down and appreciate the fruits of your labor. Well, and something real quick too, that you talked about just a little bit ago, that's an important thing to touch on, is like the importance of a good partner and balancing that relationship. I mean, mm-hmm. me and my wife have, I think, what would be considered a very traditional relationship. And I don't know that that term means what a lot of people think it means. I think a lot of people think it means a specific delineation of duties.
Right.
It can mean that, but that tends to be how me and my wife are. I mean, I earn the income simply because my ability to earn is higher. Her earn money is higher than hers is. And that just is what it is. But her ability to do so many other things is much higher than mine. You know, she's an excellent homemaker. She's great with the kids. She does great with the homeschool. She helps keep the calendar organized, which I'm not very good at, clearly. Yeah, we have our strengths and weaknesses. But I'm better with finances, so I deal with all that stuff. But it doesn't mean it has to be that way. I think traditional relationship just means that you have a balance between masculinity and femininity, and there is a clear delineation of duties. It means that you do the dishes and make the meals, then it is what it is.
Right. And that's a good point of, and I think we've discussed before about how some people sit there and think traditional, the woman's in the kitchen, she's mm-hmm. cooking. Now, don't get me wrong. My wife is a fantastic cook. I cook more American fare, crock pots, casseroles, whatever I can think of that's in my wheelhouse. She just throws a bunch of stuff together and then it comes out to be, I'm like, I have no idea how you made it, but this is fantastic. but overall, how I see it is that we have those balances where, like, because I work from home, I have that freedom to do it. Why would I wait for her to get home when I can get dinner going? I have the kids going, all this stuff. It's a balance. The one thing you said that kind of piqued my interest in, you said that we always feel like we have to be doing something or have to be productive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm definitely one of those people that I'm always doing something. If I'm sitting down with the kids, I'm either reading a book, I'm either reading an article, I'm either doing a online class, I'm trying to teach them something. I'm not just sitting, folding laundry, cooking, learning, teaching, et cetera, you know, or even just sitting there thinking about things I need to do, which sounds crazy to do. But the fact is a lot of people do sit there and feel like they always have to do something. And like, I know people that have sat there and says, Eric, man, you have homeschooling, you have work, you have this, you have this, you're teaching your kid business, you're doing all this. Like, I have right behind me, I think, a couple hundred cockroaches and a couple hundred crickets, maybe 50 mealworms and 50 superworms. And we just added green cockroaches to the madness for my son to breed and then sell. I'm setting up a website now called Creepy Critter.
Is it for like food?
For animal food. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But
it's that's awesome, man.
It is. At 7 years old, he's starting a business. And sure. I'm thinking, man, if I would have done this when I was seven, imagine how different my perspective in the world would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that it helps him with his math. It helps him with reading and understanding people with special requests. Like, sure. Please do not ship this to Antarctica for me. You know, whatever somebody, or please put in shipping instructions. Do not leave on front porch. People steal.
Sure,
whatever.
Sure.
But
well, that'd be an eye-opening experience, wouldn't it, for a porch pirate?
Yeah.
Steal a box that's full of cockroaches.
Yeah, imagine open that and your car gets full of cockroaches or a thousand crickets just jumping out of a box. Oh, man.
That'd be a good YouTube channel.
Yeah, I will tell you that those crickets jumping out, and the fact is they're annoyingly loud. They can smell once they start dying and all this because but that's if you don't, like, I've gotten to the point if I don't have to buy crickets from one of these chain places. But the point is a lot of it's because they die quickly. They start smelling.
So does he have he has reptiles?
He has a leopard gecko. He just got he got an early Christmas present, which is a Asian forest, or I might be getting it backwards. It's either a forest Asian or I think it's Asian forest scorpion.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
Yeah. And he has two hermit crabs that my wife handles those. I help him with the scorpion and with the leopard gecko. He just got the green banana cockroaches that he wants to breed and sell as pets. As pets. People pay, like, for four of them, you could pay $20 or something.
Oh, wow.
You can look at it, and that's not including shipping or whatever.
Yeah, I'm looking at them right now. Are they large?
The ones he started with four for $20, and they're little ones. They're like this big. And
oh, yeah, I see them. They're actually kind of cute, actually. Oh,
yes. Okay. But so, like, he's going to take pictures, and I'm going to teach him to, like, dictate his speech into a post.
Yeah.
So that he can see and read what he's saying. Yeah. And then I'm going to teach him to edit his post so that he can talk about the different things. And when summer comes around, he's going to be posting about the bugs that he finds out in nature, take pictures, things like that.
Very cool, man.
So it's a whole process of teaching him all this stuff. Right. And like, I'm doing the heavy lifting right now for him, getting it set up.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I found a cheat, which I adore, through Hostinger, which is who I host my sites through, that they have an AI where, like, I type in what I'm doing, give a quick description, and then it creates the entire website.
Oh, nice, man.
So the website set up, pages are set up, and I just go through and edit it.
And just edit everything. Sure. Yeah.
Add in the plugins I need, things like that for them, and then change pictures, of course, change text. But it'll even put in, like, descriptors of the text and such.
Very cool.
So, like, but, I mean, balancing all that, and then once it gets going and becomes second nature, it's not going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
But it's the thought of how much do we all do and we do it because we feel like we have to be judged. Think about it. Our parents or our grandparents, their idea of having to be productive was probably they would go to work. And I can tell you, I remember growing up and sitting in our small farm town, watching tractors go down the road and drinking a cup of coffee on our front porch, saying hello to people, this and that, which now seems like a far off idea to even do. But I remember sitting there with my stepdad. He would be drinking a coffee, and I don't think I was drinking coffee at that time, but I would have a soda or I would have some kind of drink, and I would sit there on the front porch, sitting on the swing, talking with him, or sitting in the chair on the other side. Somebody that we know would come up on the porch and sit down and talk, or things like that. we weren't being productive. We were just sitting, relaxing, talking. Now you don't see a whole lot of front porches.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that. I mean, life hasn't necessarily gotten more. I mean, it's certainly gotten more complicated. But I think to be successful, the process hasn't changed. It's still, right. You know, you just do stuff. You do stuff that's going to make changes. That's going to make movements. And, you know, like you look at a farmer back in the day, I mean, from sunup to sundown, they were busy, but it didn't mean they didn't have a moment to relax.
Right.
The difference is that in modern culture, you know, we spend, let me just preface the idea with this. So,
right. So
for example, I'll talk about some of the stuff that I'm working on with people because I'm passionate about it. I find it fascinating. Right. And because I want people's input, I'm not just talking to talk. I want to know people's ideas because, you know, it just takes one simple conversation with someone to get an idea to spark something new. And people are like, oh my gosh, man, you really do a lot. You just really got it figured out. And it's stuff a lot right. easier to talk about than it is to do. But that's not the case at all. It's just that, you know, I think the majority of people, if you were to ask them, they say, oh, I don't have time for that. It's like, okay, well, how much time do you spend watching TV? How much time do you spend playing video games? How much time do you spend scrolling your phone? How much right. time do you spend? You know, these were things that just were not really a part of life.
Right.
You know, 50, 60 years ago. And it's drastically changed us. You know, I think now we feel this like overwhelming pressure. We're just like, oh my gosh, so much going on. I can't take care of it all. It's like, well, it's a variety of things. We also just have so much stuff. We're just like surrounded yeah. by stuff, you know, and it's all just disposable, cheap, you know,
junk.
Unnecessary stuff. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day you had maybe a few things that you made and maybe some things that were family heirlooms or some things that cost quite a bit of money that would last. And that was about it. You know, you didn't have stuff everywhere, knickknacks right. and, you know, this life is just much different. I don't know.
Yeah, I try not to
occupy my time with some of that stuff as best as I can.
I think a bit of it is you think about this way. Like when I moved into my house, we had everything and then we had a few items that we put in the garage, right? Now my garage is so full that
yeah.
there's like when we first moved in, we had all this stuff. And then this is like, I'm always a stickler and I always tell my mom, don't buy too much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The kids' toys, they get packed up and put out into the mm-hmm. garage. And as they're getting older, they outgrow certain toys, this and that. But
yeah, we give stuff away, man.
That's why, like, I have to do is, like, I send a bag of toys with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
She gives it to a thrift store that yeah. works with trying to help people and such.
Sure.
So I'm all about that, but it's like there was for a while, like my daughter has more clothes than my wife and I combined. And it's like, it shouldn't be that your kid has, because they're outgrowing stuff. But mm-hmm. my mom wants to make sure my kids look nice, which I'm happy for. Don't get me wrong. I know I'm very lucky that my mom's trying to be involved in my kid's life. And the whole thing comes down to is that with a lot of what we do, you said like we try to fill our lives with knickknacks and junk and things like that. And I can see how much my garage got full. Like when we first moved in here, if we went out of town or something, we'd pull my wife's car into the garage and just close it up so no one messed with it. Now that's not even a choice. You know, we're looking at building a 12x12 shed just to move stuff out there. Like it's so crowded I can't even work on my workbench anymore. And it's like, and my workbench is just crowded. And it's like, okay, I need to get rid of stuff. I need to, and I'm to blame for it. But it goes to
sure.
With our houses, with free spaces, with our time, it feels like a lot of thinking about what you said. It feels like we have this overwhelming need anymore. I don't know if it's because of technology, because of just modern times, what it is, but we seem to have this overwhelming need to be active, to fill every space of our lives with something.
Yeah.
And like I said, when I was growing up, sitting on the porch with my mom and my stepdad and just talking and relaxing and not hitting any real important at least at that age, I didn't think it was really important topics or anything, but sure. Who knows, maybe it was important at that time and I just was too young and naive to realize it. But the general point was, is that we lived, my stepdad and my mom didn't act like, and my mom still doesn't act like she has to fill her time with something every moment. Mm-hmm. You know, she'll sit and read, she'll sit and do this or that, where we're, at least a lot of people are always trying to fill something. I have a friend that, like I said, talks about, oh, well, you're always doing something. And I'm like, well, you have time to do these things.
Yeah.
He goes, and he doesn't have kids. He doesn't have a lot of things going on. Well, he has a lot going on. He has his house. He has his, all this stuff that he has. But I'm like, you know, let's look at it realistically. Do you watch a lot of TV? He goes, well, I'll come home and I'll sit down and turn on the TV and just relax. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, you're trading your time to relax, which is good because he is a lot more of a mellow guy, miles, miles nicer than I am. So, I mean, he sits there all the time and goes, you know, when somebody comes to my door, I just go, what would Eric do? Eric would yell at him, get off my property.
He goes, no way.
He goes, and I get ready to do it. I open the door and I say, hello, how can I help you? And I'm thinking, like, you know, we all have our strengths. My wife wishes I was nicer when I opened the door and said, yes, can I help you? And as soon as they say, well, I'm not here to sell anything to you, perfect, leave. So I'm like, if you're starting your conversation with, I'm not here to sell you anything, you're here to sell me something.
Right, no kidding.
And you're starting it off with a lie.
That's a whole other conversation. Like it's the same. I feel like a sense of defensiveness when someone knocks on my door. It's like, that wasn't the case 50, 60 years ago either. You know, it was more likely than not a friendly neighbor coming to say hello, you know, and now that just doesn't happen. But that's the same thing where, you know, the connection that social media and the internet has provided us has made us so disconnected that it seems counterintuitive, you know. Right. I had this thought the other day, and it was an interesting experience actually. And then I've tried explaining this, but somebody had said that this comment to me of, you know, like, oh my gosh, you spread yourself so thin, so much going on, blah, 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 you know, and I don't ever really think of it that way. I, in my mind, I'm not doing enough, you know, but maybe that's a problem. But they said, yeah, you know, just spread you spread yourself so thin. And my response to them, and I won't forget this, this is probably maybe 6-7 months ago, and this statement that I made is stuck in my head. And it was almost like, this is going to sound strange, I don't know where the words came from. It was, I was speaking the words, but they didn't come from me. It was like a very strange situation. Take from that what you will. I'm not trying to be like, you know, yeah, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, so I said to him, I said, you know, it seems like I keep giving more of myself than I think I have. And I always find out there's more of me than I thought there was. And I was right. And that perfectly like encompasses the way I feel about it, the exactly what we're talking about. This idea of just like constantly doing, and, you know, just piling more things on. It's like, there's something about that, you know, resistance breeds growth, right? There's something about that act of taking on more than I think I'm capable of handling. And it revealing to me that there's more of me than I thought that there was, you know?
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing is, I think a lot of us do kind of have that. I'm not sure how to explain it, but why do I feel like a dumbass right now? The fact that we do know.
I'm just kidding.
We are talking about me. No, the fact is a lot of us do kind of have that. We stretch ourselves thin and we try to give more and more of ourselves. And yeah, like, I don't know. It's, if we could give more, we do give more. I look at it. When I started Call with Dads with Pancakes, right? I started it because I ended the author podcast that I had going because it was a weekly podcast and it felt like I was just too bombarded and I was getting ready to homeschool, and I had my priorities of making sure I homeschooled more than I was talking with authors.
Right.
Now, as we grew and we started adding different features and this and that, instead of streamlining, removing one thing and putting another, I kept growing things on the website, trying to add more features, trying to do this, add. And we're at the point that there's so much going on, so much communications, trying to find guests, trying to do all these things, that we're at a tipping point that it's no longer sustainable for our situation to keep doing it that way. So like we discussed earlier, we're cutting back and just having the three of us, you, Pancakes, and I, 90% of the times, unless there's a real topic that we need an expert on or what so have you, or we get a chance to have a guest that's just out of the park, you know, but most times it's going to be us talking, which I like. And
I think the three of us have more than enough to say, especially with, Pancakes.
Yeah, without a question. And there's definitely enough that we can talk about and rant on and what so have you. But it's that whole thing of, this all started because I wanted to do something to get a message out. And collaborating with Pancakes, it became Call with Dads, and we grew. You came on, which brought a element that I feel we definitely needed. And it's fantastic. But it's one of those things, like I said, we constantly feel like we need to do more and more and more. And this podcast, as much as I enjoy it, as much as we all enjoy it, it's not our jobs. It's not making us money. It's meant to get out messages, get people back on track, and then also allow us to basically chit chat and get opinions and of each other and what so have you.
Well, I think you're right that the simplifying things is, you know, that it's the 80-20 principle, right?
Right.
I mean, I think we're doing, well, you a lot, but we're doing a lot, and it needs to, better if we just kind of focus, you know, hit the YouTube lives. I think that's a great source. There's a lot of people there that I think are interested in what we have to say. You know, put the podcast out like we have been, and just keep talking about really valuable things that I think a lot of dads are afraid to talk about, or that they just don't have somebody to talk about it with. Because the interesting thing is like, even like when I like talking to the stuff that I talk to you guys about on this podcast, like when I try to have these conversations with people in the real world, they kind of look at me like I've got a third eye on my forehead or something. Like they just, it's like, they're just like, why are we talking about this? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, why are we talking about this? And they'd much rather talk about sports 90% of the time, which is just, I'm not interested in even in the slightest. No offense to any of the dads that like sports. Good for you. Great sports. Yeah. But I just, it's not something I want to talk about 24/7. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I want to have deeper conversations with more substance. And yeah.
That's the thing, is most people don't, excuse me. Most people don't, really get too deep into, or they don't seem to want to get into deep conversations that's going to make them either think, or they don't want to possibly look at something that makes them think about the possibilities that there's something in their lives they need to change. Because change is hard. Don't get me wrong, like, we have, and I've mentioned on here that we use a nanny for me to be able to homeschool with working full-time, my wife full-time, all this. The thing is that one nanny that we had for almost 2 years, she left, she got another position. So we went through that change. We got a new nanny. We were excited. We thought it was going to be good. And as soon as we started feeling like, okay, we can start adjusting to this change, she had a situation. Now she has to leave. And we're back to trying to find somebody new. And then with the holidays and all this, people taking time off to go family, it's like, you sit there and you're like, I don't want to keep changing things. My plan, I want to have a plan. I want to have it organized. I want things to be how it's comfortable. And, you know, I've gone out and made myself uncomfortable a lot of times just to learn, just to do, just to push. Yeah. And I do it because I also want my son to... No, hey, I need to work on all this stuff. I need to not be scared of failing, because failing is how I learn and how I improve. But at the same time, it's like, if we go without a nanny, then trying to homeschool, watch my kid, work, bounce family, all this, then just becomes tenfold, because I have to monitor what he's reading instead of saying, okay, this is the things I need him to do today for the nanny. I want him to read this book. I want him to work on his spelling. I would need him to work on his Chinese. I need him to work on this or that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the simple things of, with the nanny, I can at least direct and then work and get stuff done. Without one, it's, I have 100 times full. I can manage it. But then again, you're sitting there going, man, how do I balance all this out? We still do it. I mean, we've gone through, I've been doing homeschooling this way for a couple of years now, and nannies have come and gone, and I've still balanced it all out.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, I think, like, we have to realize what our things in life are and what our values in life are. Not, I hate to say, because you can't say what our priorities are, because a priority means the top item on your list. If you say, what are my priorities, plural, you can't have a top item and have multiple.
Greg McKeown talks about that in the book Essentialism. Yeah.
I was going to say, I heard it somewhere and it stuck with me. I had no idea. But the fact is I think people need to learn more about this is what I want out of life. And like I was explaining to somebody before is, you know, with every change, you have a chance to fail and start over. So you take that chance.
Usually you're going to fail.
Yeah, normally. I mean, when I started designing restaurants, I messed up quite a bit. And luckily, luckily I had people around me that was able to say, no, you need to fix this. No, pay attention to this, blah, 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 right?
There's a couple of restaurants out there don't even have kitchens in them because of you.
They might not even be around anymore. No, luckily there was enough safeguards to make sure that it was done right. But because of the failure, because of all the things I did, I managed to become very good at what I do. And I ended up becoming what I would call an expert in the software I use and in my field, to where people now say, hey, I need help. Hey, this is happening. Can you get on? Hey, can you do this, that, the other thing? So it's one of those things that we build up a whole lot, and we are afraid of changes. So I think that might also be why a lot of people fill their lives with so much stuff, is so they don't believe they have time to take that risk to make a change. I can't change job because I don't have time to learn about a new field. I can't go do this because my schedule is just so packed with watching TV.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. I like a couple interesting thoughts throughout that. You know, start with the one that just came to me most recently, but I like to kind of reframe the way I speak sometimes to kind of put things into perspective. And one of the tools that I use a lot is when I find myself saying I don't have time for something, I rephrase it and say that, you know, that thing's not important. Because that's really what I'm saying, right? When I'm saying I don't have time to play with my kids, I'm saying that it's not important that I play with my kids. Because if it was important, I would make time for it. And that's just the reality. I make time for a bunch of other stuff, you know, so clearly I have time. And it's not like, you know, my days, everybody else's days are 24 hours and mine are only 5 minutes. You know what I mean? I have the time, I have the same time everybody else has, you know what I mean? But it's just how I choose to spend it. And so, you know, when I find myself saying, well, I don't have time for that thing, it's like, well, what I'm saying is it's not important. And is that true? If it's true that it's not important, then fine. You know what I mean? I don't have time to watch that new show. Oh, okay. Well, it's not important that I watch. That's true. It is true that it's not important. Okay, fine. Then I'm in alignment. You know what I mean? But when I find myself saying, you know, I don't have time to do things like play with my kids, that's a whole nother thing. Me and a close friend of mine who get together and talk about stuff like this pretty regularly, we were talking about being uncomfortable. And, you know, I think a lot of people seek comfort. And especially nowadays, I don't have any experience with, you know, 60 years ago, but it doesn't seem like that was the case then. Especially men, you know, I feel like it's a core aspect of masculinity, actually, that you actively seek discomfort. And that's part of what me and him talked about, is like change and discomfort are where we experience growth. And so a phrase that's often used in the industry I work in is that, you know, you have to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And because that's where the growth happens, you know? So, and I think that's true. You talked about being uncomfortable. I think we need to make ourselves uncomfortable we don't want to, but that's the point, right?
Yeah, it really is. That's the hard part, is stepping out, being uncomfortable, dealing with all this stuff. And I mean, some people are busy trying to get successful at what they're doing, but I think for the majority of people, it is easier to say, I don't have time. And it might be meant consciously, I don't want to take that risk. Or it might be their subconscious, and they're like, oh, well, I have so much going on, and they don't think about all the stuff they have going on. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to find a balance up. And for me, a lot of it's, I'm so busy because I'm trying to do a lot to expand and do all the crazy stuff, test if a business idea works out, et cetera, et cetera. I've always had that entrepreneur spirit.
Sure, sure.
But I think, I don't know, I think a lot of it comes down to trying to balance it all out without stretching ourselves too thin.
Well, that's why these conversations are important. You kind of open my eyes to something a little bit there. You said, you know, and it never dawned on me. I like to reframe it as, well, that thing is not important, but, you know, it could also be, I don't have time to start a business. Well, you know, is that it? Or should you be saying, I'm afraid to start a business? You know, it doesn't just have to be, it's not important. There could be a lot of other reasons why you're saying you don't have time for it. You know, it's uncomfortable. I'm afraid. What will people think? It's not important. There's, you know, just so many other things. It brings up too many bad memories, that, you know, whatever it might be, right?
Right.
I don't have time to spread my grandmother's ashes in Mississippi where she asked me to spread them, right? It's like, well,
yeah,
come on. You know, is that true? Or is it just that you don't want to confront the uncomfortable memory of that? You know, whatever. That's just an example I came up with.
I
don't have a grandma who I need to spread.
Right. But it is true that, and, you know, originally when this conversation started about juggling life, family, all this stuff, it was basically a thought of, oh, well, how do we do it? But I mean, obviously we've gone into a lot of deeper context of what are we really, are we balancing? Are we intentionally overfilling our time?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we trying to go with a lot of what we do? And I mean, yes, you should always have your family prioritized as the top thing. Well, it depends on how you look at it. Some people will sit there and say, it's God, family, and then everything else. So, and I kind of go with that 90% of the time. My family is, I'll admit, I'm not a perfect Christian. I do put my family above a lot of other things most times.
Mm-hmm.
The issue, I think, is that people either, I also think it's, let's kind of touch on one last thing before we kind of wrap up, is, do you think it's also we're being, and this might, people might say I'm being conspiracy theorist here because I do that a lot. I read way too many things, obviously, nowadays. But the funny thing is a lot of these conspiracies tend to come true. Mm-hmm. But do you think it's also that we're being fed the thought of, you need to fill your time with all this stuff and you need to be afraid of trying new, like they always tell you, oh, go out and do this, go out and do this.
Mm-hmm.
But no one wants to go out and do everything that's needed to be successful, because they're afraid if they take their foot off one thing that they would lose that opportunity that they're trying to get from a job or from a partnership that they have of some sort, to take the risk for something else. And it's, I think about something my daughter says, where I was getting her dressed and she's like, I can't wear those pants. I'm like, why? They look fine. They're warm. It's cold out, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, people will laugh at me. I'm like, and she's 3 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no one's going to laugh at you. No one's going to say anything to you.
Mm-hmm.
And
nobody is probably even going to notice.
At 3 years old, no.
They're too busy worried about what pants they're wearing.
Well, see, here's the thing, is once she's at school, once she's doing all this stuff, school, daycare, whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
no one's everyone's all, you're so pretty and all this, and that's her thing. But I wonder where that mindset came from of, oh, I have to, like, again, 3 years old, worrying about people's opinions of her.
Right.
She wants, and she's a little girl. She wants to be pretty. And I understand you want to look nice. My son can care less. Mm-hmm. He would go outside in 7 different colors.
Sure.
I mean, I can tell you, like, I see him trying to peek in right now because he knows that it's about time for him and I to get some stuff going. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that he doesn't care what he looks like as long as he has blue on.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact is that that's a completely different scenario for him. But with my daughter, much younger, is concerned about it. Now, that might obviously be a girl-boy thing.
Yeah.
The question is, where does that stem from? Is it something that we get programmed into us, something that gets pushed more and more into? Like, I'll admit, I make sure I look decently nice if I'm talking, if I'm doing something, if I'm going out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at it, I work from home. I could easily wear a pair of pajamas all day and no one would ever notice. I mean, look, this is what most people see of me when I talk, and it's just here. I could put a t-shirt on and throw a nice dress-up shirt when I talk, and no one would ever notice. But I always end up putting a pair of clean pants on, putting on socks, my house shoes, making sure that I'm dressed nice. So if I step outside, I look nice.
Mm-hmm.
If I go somewhere, I look nice. I don't have to change my clothes to go out in public. And I don't have to technically do that, you know?
Well, I think, so back to the beginning, the idea of like conspiracy theories and stuff, because I tend to be that way sometimes too, and I try not to be because, Heinlein's razor, which is like a mental model, you know, it says it's always better to assume ignorance than malevolence. And I think more often than not, that's the case. I don't know that it's intentional or if it's just a product of the system and the way it's designed, but I do think that a good question to ask yourself, speaking about, you know, framing our language, is who stands to benefit. And I think in a lot of these situations, it's not us, and that's
right.
Or you know, the you as an individual, right? The life that most people lead. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to pay my taxes. I'm going to make a reasonable income. I'm going to eat out a lot. I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to eat healthy. Thereby, you know, by the time I'm 40, 50, I will be dependent upon the healthcare system. Mm-hmm. I'm going to consume lots of media. And as a result of consuming that media, I'm going to fill my house and my life with trinkets that represent the media that I am interested in. I'm going to be concerned about the way that I look, and I'm going to ensure that I buy fashionable name brand things. Right. I'm going to be concerned about how I appear on social media. So I'm going to go out of my way to do things that where I can take pictures looking like I'm doing something cool, but never actually pursue anything meaningful. And you know, maybe this is cynical, but I truly believe if you sit and analyze a modern life, you know, I think this that's a pretty accurate representation of what it looks like. Okay, so who stands to benefit from that? Well, not you. That's
right.
For sure. Your health diminishes. You give away 40 hours a week of your life to a job that you're really not passionate about.
Minimum.
Right. And a large portion of the income that you make goes to taxes,
To support things you don't support
Right. Exactly. I mean, you're not fulfilled in your spare time because you're not pursuing anything meaningful that you're actually passionate about, right? You're busy consuming media and the like. But who does stand to gain? Well, I mean, everybody else, right?
The businesses, government.
Businesses, government, exactly. All the corporations. Yeah. I mean, to use kind of an analogy, I think about the movie The Matrix, right? You're like a little battery. You know, you're just like working, and you're using your labor to generate this energy, money, and it's just flowing away from you at an ever increasing rate, you know, and in exchange for things that just placate you. It's a depressing way to frame things, but it is a realistic way to frame things. And it doesn't mean that it has to be that way. It's not like the Matrix where you're trapped in a little pod, you know, just generating energy, right? We don't live in that world. There's plenty of other options. There's plenty of other options.
There are, but you look at it, a lot of people do live metaphorically in that little pod. Yes,
they feel that way. They certainly feel that way, and they feel like they don't have any other option. And they're escaping things that they're running towards things that they are told are meaningful, in hopes of experiencing happiness and fulfillment, and realizing that, I think most people pursue happiness, and happiness is fleeting, and I don't think happiness is the point of life. I think fulfillment is much more valuable. But even those that do attempt to pursue fulfillment, I think, have a hard time finding it, because they try to use the strategy that's given to them instead of the one that makes the most sense.
I agree.
But there is an answer. There is an answer. And so even though it might look like we're burdening ourselves with things, you know, I think personally what I'm doing is I'm making my life meaningful, you know, pursuing things that are important to me, the betterment, the enrichment of my children, the enrichment of my community, the pursuit of a career that I'm deeply passionate about, and that, you know, my pursuit towards competency brings me a sense of fulfillment. It's just a different way of living, and it's complicated, stressful. It's you know, overbearing sometimes, overwhelming sometimes, but it's also beautiful.
Right.
And fulfilling.
Always fulfilling. I think with that, it's my life I feel is fulfilling. I know, like, before I got married, before I had kids, I was partying. I was doing all the crazy stuff. And, you know, it's one of those things that I'll admit I was probably out there trying to fill a void or whatever it was, you know? But I think, I don't know. I don't think I can really respond to what you just said with the sounding logical and not a rant. So how about this? How about we end on that note? Because I think that's the perfect way to end this and let people digest that. So what people should, just so people know what they should expect for what's coming up, is we are going to go back to the basics of Call It Dad's going to be Tom, Mr. Pancakes, and myself. We're going to be discussing topics that we feel is important and topics that people want to discuss, hear us discuss about. So we're going to, on YouTube and our social medias, we're still going to be posting the shorts and things like that for you to kind of enjoy and share and what so have you. But generally, we're going to become more relaxed. Our live streams are going to stay random, so you need to subscribe and share so that, and make sure you have the alert set so you can hear what we're saying when we talk about it. But yeah, I mean, with all that, Tom, where do people find you? Where do people try to get a hold of you if they have questions? If, say, they want to buy something from you, where do they go?
Yeah, so Twitter is the best place to, X is the best place to find me, at Earn Her Respect. There hasn't been, for reasons we've just discussed, right, prioritization of things, there hasn't been a lot of content there for me lately, which I apologize to anybody who is waiting on the edge of their seat. I don't know how many there are, but I'll be back there actively before long here. I'm trying to take care of some other things. I've also got some two books that are going to be coming out that are both in the process of being completed. And there's also, that's the best place to find me. There's some links there you can follow to some other stuff, and you can always message me if you'd like there. I'm open to having a conversation with anybody. So just keep an eye on X, and there'll be more coming.
Sounds perfect. And of course, callwithdads.com, where we have all of our stuff. If I get time, I'm going to do some formatting, clean it up, make it pretty straightforward. But right now, callwithdads.com, we have a shop where you can buy shirts, hats, things like that. The purchase of these things help us be able to put money back into the show, improve things, try to recoup some of the expense of doing this, because, well, this isn't free. It does have a purpose to it. With that, just share our show, let people know about us if you like us, set the alert so you can find out when the live streams come, because it's the best way, and then you can get in the messenger and tell us stuff, tell us comments, whatever you want. So with that, I do appreciate everybody. Dom, if you want to say goodbye, this is the time to do it, but thank you.